So, Kate, I'm going to ask you to get things started. How does the CEO begin to react in a moment like this? What are the tools that she has at her disposal to begin to move forward?
So that's a great question. And I would say first, before she starts thinking about the tools, I would advise her to step back and think about what success looks like for her coming out of this. And I think it's a really important framing that you remember what your end goals are when you're in a crisis or an adventure, because sometimes it's hard to lose the forest for the trees. And it's always really important to understand sort of the long-term goal of where you're actually headed. And remember that success for the organization may not be aligned with success for the founder, which is probably the first time, it may be the first time that's ever come up for that CEO. The second thing is related to this, is she really needs to think about if she's willing to lose her job over this one. My guess is that if the founder has been so involved, he is a sort of pretty big figure in her life and in her day-to-day job, and she's got to be prepared that the decisions that she's going to have to make for the best interests of the organization, again, may not be aligned with the interests of the founder. So once she's sort of got that framing and she's sort of got her general sense of the direction that she wants to go, there's, I think, a couple of things that she's going to want to do. The first is getting ready for that immediate crisis response, right? We haven't heard anything yet, but you know somebody is coming. So she's got to know who her team is. She's got to know that she's got inside PR experience. She may have some great PR folks, but they may be really good at writing press releases about all the work, good work the organization is doing. They may not have the expertise to navigate through a crisis. She's going to have to think about who's going to be calming her donors. She may be doing a lot of the major donors, but she may need to bring in groups of her philanthropy teams in order to have those kinds of talking points ready to go and to talk to both the medium-sized and smaller donors. She's got to figure out how she's going to calm the staff. And she's got a chief operating officer. With any luck, that person has credibility among the organization and can help her lead through with the staff piece. And then finally, she's got to think about, there's going to be a lot of things going back and forth. What does the confidentiality look like? How are they going to be able to have real conversations without the risk of those things leaking out into the outside world? The other thing that I think she ought to be thinking about is what the relationship with her board is going to look like, right? The board is her boss. My guess is she's used to just interacting with the founder, and she's got to be thinking about, okay, well, if I can't call up the chair, who am I calling? Is there a chair of an audit committee? If they don't have committees, is it sort of a leader or a number two of the board that she has a good relationship with? With any luck, she's laid some of that groundwork, but she's got to be thinking about what the board is going to be briefed on, what the frequency is, and she's got to make sure that the board is on the same page she is about both the direction of where she wants to take this, as well as how they view what they're going to expect from her in terms of updates and involvement. Anything you'd miss, Justin? Anything I missed?
The only thing I think I would add is that, you know, we live in a world where timelines are shrinking at a rapid pace. The moment something ends up on Twitter, it often is better known by Twitter than it is by the local news or a newspaper or television, what have you. And so in a weird way, timelines are going to move extremely quickly. And there's this interesting balance that I think the CEO has to deal with. Hopefully there's some preparation that's happened for a situation like this in advance, but you've got to be incredibly nimble at these moments. And I think one of the biggest challenges is recognizing that a crisis is actually here and that you've got to move into triage mode. And throughout this presentation, I think one of the things that we're going to talk about, and as we were discussing this in advance, is realizing that all of your preparations could very quickly fall apart because the facts on the ground are going to change. So I think it's also a moment to, frankly, for the CEO to tell their family, I might not be hanging out with you for much longer for the next few weeks without going into any details, because it is going to be all hands on deck.
No, I think that's an excellent point. Okay, so we're ready for act two. Numerous board members have expressed their concern about reputational harm to the charity and to themselves, frankly. And the chair of the audit committee is calling a board meeting, which is permitted under state law, of course, and the organization's bylaws, but the founder declines to the meeting. He does not want to have one. He doesn't think it's a good idea. So, however, after much negotiations, the founder agrees to attend, but he informs the board that the allegations against him are not credible and has no intention to step down from his role, and he encourages the board to ignore the media. The chair of the audit committee then asks the founder to leave the room so the rest of the board can discuss the situation without him, which I think is actually a show of courage that if the CEO is paying attention, ought to be heartened by. And after some pushback, the founder agrees to leave. I think it's a really important to take a look at what you think the dynamics are in the boardroom with those details. So given that, Justin, what do you think the board should be thinking about? What, you know, they've just kicked out their leader, who they all have very close relationship with, to start talking about how they ought to handle this.
You know, I'm going to start by saying that in many ways, this is the moment boards. This is the reason boards exist, is for moments like this. But this is not the reason why people join boards. People join boards because they care about a cause, because they want to be generous and they're being honored for their generosity, or because it's a way to be engaged in the community. And nobody joins a board because they want to deal with a crisis involving potential securities fraud, particularly potential securities fraud that may involve a colleague or a friend for a long period of time. And where the CEO, I think, initially had to ask the question, what is the end goal here? The board members have to go through that as well, but they're not being paid for this. And that creates a really interesting dynamic. And when you talk to board members at moments like this, they want a couple things. The first thing they want are answers. They want to know, what am I supposed to do? What is the right step forward? And this is a particular challenge for board members who, say, come out of the for-profit space, the finance space, where there tends to often be a little more guidance on how the path forward looks, because shareholder value is at stake. We don't have shareholders here. We have a mission. We have a staff that's upset. We have a board that's upset. And we have a community that's increasingly upset.